Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 221. My name is Turner Sparks.
And I am Miguel Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. Get my album, Turner Sparks, live from the Friars Club, available now, streaming, or I will sign it and mail it to you. Old school. Get a CD. Put it on
the wall. Risk coronavirus for the fans. You're going to go to the post office. I love it.
I'll risk my life for you, people. Yes. That's how much I love you, and that's how much I love $20, because that's what it costs if you buy it. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram, on all social media. He's Cap'n America.
Cap'n America everywhere.
Kaplan, on the podcast today, we're talking once again about Peru, our favorite country. We have Jaime Ferraro on the show today. We will bring him in just a minute. We're talking, there's another new corruption scandal, which is a very 2021 corruption scandal happening in Peru. It's the first of these type of scandals that I've heard about in the world related to the COVID vaccine. So we'll get into that in just a second. But Kaplan,
yes,
people love this show. That's why they're listening right now, right? People are finding this show. We're getting new. And actually, thank you for telling your friends, everybody, because the numbers are going up and up and up and up every single week. We're bigger than ever right now. But we still need your support. We need your financial support. If you want us to be able to keep doing this show, you got to support us. And the way to do that is go to patreon.com/lostinamerica and throw us some scratch, right? Kaplan, tell them what to do.
Well, they should throw us. We do three episodes a week over there. And what we're talking about over there is that I have thrown my hat into the ring, so to speak. I'm getting in the ring of local New York City politics. I am running for city council, and these are my rallies. This is where I go to rally the people. So we're going to be talking. The entire campaign is going to start. Or it's really going to ramp up, because when you told me, when is the election? I forget. When am I running?
The election is November 2nd. Yeah, we've been
looked it up.
we're now using our Patreon show Live from the Bunker as almost like it's a war room.
It's my war room. We bounce ideas.
Yeah, where we talk about what's our strategy for winning this election. And the first strategy was find out when is the election.
Right, I didn't know. I had the date wrong. I had the information wrong.
November 2nd. And then Kaplan, also, you told me that there was a primary, you said, in June. So we were really ramping up for the primary.
Nope.
And then I did a quick Google and I realized you were lying.
No
there
primary.
There is no primary.
Just
you're either
general.
Lying or you just made it. You didn't check and didn't want me to double check. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
anyway,
this is.
We're figuring out what we also don't know what party you're going to run under.
We might start
our own party, the alt-middle party,
I believe. We're going to start the Open the Damn Schools and Ban Fireworks party. We're workshopping that.
So we're coming up with your platform. We're coming up with strategies to win. And also, not only how to win, but how to make the other people lose. You know, you want to any good campaign goes. You get down in the dirt with the competitors. So Lamer Van Bramer, we're coming.
Lamer
for you.
Bramer, this guy Brent O'Leary, this Julie. I'm not going to dignify her by remembering her last name, but I know her first name is Julie, and she's really good on Instagram, and she's got these fancy. She's got a whole petition, an online petition, to try to get signatures to get on the ballot.
But she doesn't have a podcast.
She doesn't have a podcast, and we're gonna send our goons. We're gonna send our bots to destroy her online petitions. We're gonna knock her off the ballot. And what the opportunity for the fans is to start donating to come to the Patreon page, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you want to donate. And remember, not only are you getting this podcast, but you are gonna get a seat at the table. You're gonna have influence because I'm not taking money from lobbyists officially or corporatists or any of that stuff. But this is my dark money.
Well, they haven't offered yet. So we don't want to go out on a limb there.
The Patreon page is my dark money.
Yes.
And, you know, if you come with your whatever interests you want, we will.
We are the shadow figures in your future administration, Kaplan.
And we announce this up front.
For $5 a month, you can get your issue on the ballot. We will do your bidding. Kaplan will do your bidding. So that's it. Exactly. Patreon.com/LostInAmerica. Kaplan, let's get to today's guest, Jaime Ferraro, the host of the El Podcast de Jaime Ferraro, I believe. Hopefully I pronounced that right. He's a great comedian.
The podcast of Jaime. Yeah, I understand Spanish.
Look, at Kaplan's a Spanish speaker. Yeah. Que buena suerte, Kaplan.
Que lastima.
That's on YouTube. You guys can watch it on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube right now, just click over and watch Jaime right when this is done. What we're talking about today is, this is great. It's a scandal. So if you remember, Vizcarra was the president
he was impeached back in November.
September.
He was impeached in September and it didn't take. And then they impeached him again in November, I believe. Or
yeah,
October.
They impeached him again in November. Good memory. And then they got some other guy in there. He lasted a week. And then we left off.
Yeah, we didn't know what happened. It was cliffhanger.
We didn't know what happened. I think the day we published the podcast, like 2 hours later, they figured out who the next president was going to be. So we want to find out who that is. But also we want to find out what happened to Mr. Vizcarra. And as far as I know, we're going to let Jaime explain it, but there is a scandal with the COVID vaccine and former President Vizcarra.
And we went to bat for this guy, Vizcarra. We laid the reputation of the podcast on his idea that this was a man who shouldn't have been impeached.
Well,
so I don't like to hear that he should have been impeached.
He was impeached, we thought wrongfully. Our former guest, Gerardo Manuel, was telling us that people were marching in the streets in favor of Vizcarra. Millions of young people, Gen Z. The Gen Zers, the Zoomers were out
there. The Zoomers made us number one in Peru that week in honor of the march. So we were winning, they were winning.
Everybody was winning, and then it all came crashing down. Jaime, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
How are you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
So
it's a pretty good resume. From what's been going on, but it goes way deeper than that.
All right, well, let us know. So start out. So why is Vizcarra in trouble?
The thing is that Vizcarra, when he got impeached, people went out to the street, not to defend them, actually, but basically to defend democracy, because what had happened is that it was that this guy was accused of corruption. And he's most likely guilty. It looks like that. But the thing is that we're changing presidents in the middle of this year, July 28th. That's when we're holding an election by the in April. So what happened was that this was it wasn't the time to do it. He had still to be investigated. Basically, these were accusations, but all of our presidents have those. I mean, they even have them before they get into office. So basically, that was instrumentalized by the opposition to throw him down. And the guy who took power, he went into power with very like conservative right wing people. And they just grabbed power and they put some people there that they call them in Peru, viejos lesbianos, which has nothing to do with lesbians, but it's just like it's like a saying that comes from a meme, and they use it to call out like very old and out of age, out of contact, you know, out of touch people.
Oh, we call them boomers.
Yeah, it's kind of the same, but like boomers,
lesbian boomers, what?
Something like that. Yeah, like old male lesbian boomers.
And this was okay, Marino,
lesbian
right?
boomer.
We're talking about Marino here. Marino's the guy who took over.
Marino was kind of like a puppet for all these people. I mean, and he had like a head of his cabinet and other people that were like really conservative right wing people, which, I mean, it's nothing wrong with them if you elect them. Right. Mm. But they were not elected. They just took power. So they were overthrown in a week, and they changed. What they did was they changed. Marino became the president because he was the president of the Congress. Of Congress.
Right.
And what we do is when we, after the president, you get the vice president. If you don't have, Vizcarra was the vice president. So he had gotten into power because the previous president had been impeached as well.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
So they had to go to the president of Congress. So what they did after Merino was overthrown was like reelect another president of Congress from one of the few people that had not voted to impeach Vizcarra. So like these guys impeached Vizcarra from these people who didn't.
Oh, I see.
The presence from within them, you know?
So and can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I fully understood this last time. Marino lasted 1 week, right?
1 week. Uh-huh.
So, and he stepped down from what we could tell from news reports. There was millions of people marching in the streets who wanted him gone. And mm-hmm. then he stepped down after a week. But this is what I didn't understand. In the United States, if millions of people march in the streets, that happens once a year. They never step down. No one ever says, oh, you don't want me? Okay, I'll go. They just act like those people don't exist. They ignore them until the people get tired and stop marching. And then they go upon their way. So why did Marino step down after 1 week? Was there a deeper reason?
Yeah, the thing is that... the pressure got to be too much. I mean, basically, he didn't have any other countries acknowledging his presidency, because it was what they did. The argument they used it was spread really thin. I mean, to vacate to impeach Vizcarra. So Vizcarra went to the it was an obvious revenge because Vizcarra had closed Congress a few months before. So, it was obvious that it was like a political battle that happened. Whatever they would say that the reasons were, it was a lie, and everybody knew that. So the opposition would try to make us look as people was defending Vizcarra, but actually it was just a rejection towards them. Nobody cared what happened with Vizcarra because everybody knows Vizcarra is corrupt. It's just that he had taken some money, but he was fighting these people. And
but so he hadn't had a trial yet. Nothing had actually. No. There was no due process.
And there was going to be an election again in April that just could.
Yeah,
happen.
I mean, and he couldn't run. So we were going to these people. Obviously, what they wanted was to get into power and postpone the election because you don't get power to live in 6 months. You know, with the argument of the they never actually acknowledged that because people reacted pretty quick. But it was obvious because you don't take power to stay there just for 8 months. You know, so
yes. Not generally, unless you have a real.
What I like
plan.
That idea though, Kaplan. How about this? That they, even people were marching not to support this man, but just to support democracy. There's a lot. We were just talking last week, I think, about Russia and Navalny, right?
Similar, yeah.
And people are not. Navalny in Russia is I guess getting this is a whole different story, but he's getting canceled by the ACLU, the Advanced Civil Liberties Union, right? Was it ACLU?
Amnesty International.
Sorry, Amnesty International, because of his political views. But yet he's just fighting to literally all he wants is an election to happen. So whether you support him or disagree with him, you should be supporting whether you support his views
or
not.
You support democracy.
You're supporting the idea that an election should happen. This is what they got right in Peru. I like that. Okay.
Yeah. And it worked, you know, because it was some service came out after the all these events, and they said like 92% of Peru was against the way they had overthrown Vizcarra, and almost 40% of the country went out and did something in some sort of way to manifest their discomfort with the situation. So it was a big deal. It wasn't. I mean, I live in a part of the city which is not close to where people usually march. I would have to drive like maybe 15 minutes to get there, but I would hear the noises around my neighborhood. This is like a quiet neighborhood. People never do stuff like that, but they would go out. You would have marches all around the country. I mean, he couldn't hold it. I mean, and he called. He called the military, and he tried to Merino. I mean, he tried to be like to just like double the strength to combat the protesters. And at some point, they just told him no because they had already killed two people. I mean, in the protest.
He was established. Like sometimes when you protest a leader who's been in power a while, it's harder to.
He's been there 1 week.
People feel comfortable with him, but he's been there a week. He's not even a leader, really.
And even as a congressman. Yeah. He had like 4,000 votes in one small region of Peru. I mean, that's how we got into Congress. So
I'm going to get more votes than that in the city council, just so we.
And once you lose,
and I'm going to serve 8 months too.
Once you lose the military, it's over.
Yeah,
you can't do anything without the military. Okay, so he's gone, and then you guys put in how do I pronounce his name? Francisco Sagasti, is that right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay,
that's
so
his
he
name.
Becomes. He's appointed as the president, right? And from what I understand of him, he seems like he's 76 years old, right? Mm. He's not going to be running in the next election. And he is some kind of a centrist. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
An academic.
He is a centrist and an academic. And I actually got to meet him like a few years ago by chance. I went on a trip to Chile and I went for dinner to someplace and he was there. I mean, he was no one there, but the guy I met a few years ago is now the president, but
that's cool.
He was running though. I mean, cause his party is running and this election and they're not doing very well. And he was going as a vice president when he withdrew himself from the candidacy because, you know, he's the president now. So it wouldn't look good,
know,
like the president and you're running cause we don't have re-election here in Peru.
But he was running for vice president would be a step down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot you guys don't have re-elections. So
no, we don't.
It's 1 6-year term, right?
5 years.
Oh, but
five
if you years. Take over at the end of the term, that means you can't run again? Because he's.
I think maybe you could. I'm not sure. But the thing is that was changed a few years ago because we had a president in the 90s that he basically, I mean, he was elected in 1990. And then he dissolved Congress in 1993. He was reelected in 1995, but he made a new constitution. So in the year 2000, at that time, we only had like one reelection. So at the year 2000, he said like, yeah, I mean, the thing is that since the new constitution is on, I've only been elected once because I was already president.
That's Fuji.
So he ran again.
Fujimori,
that's,
right?
Yeah, that's Fujimori. And then the Supreme Court said, no, you can, said so. He changed them. And then the other one said,
get rid of this.
Okay, now you can. Now you can. And he did that. And well, eventually that government was overthrown as well. And he renounced. But
so what's this thing? What's with the vaccine in Vizcarra?
Well, the thing is that as it always happens in South America, you know, we have this heritage of colonialism when you know you have these elites that are always trying to work for themselves, you know, and that's what happened. Basically the Chinese started negotiating with the Peruvian authorities to sell them their vaccine, the Sinopharm vaccine.
Yep.
And so they started also speaking with the Russian vaccine people and also with the AstraZeneca vaccine. But after that, they stopped negotiating with Sputnik, with the Russian vaccine. And they said, no, we're only going to go for the Chinese one. But when Vizcarra was overthrown, we found out that he hadn't bought any vaccines. He didn't buy anything. He was just talking with them, but he didn't buy vaccines. Sagasti was the first one who did. But we started a trial in Peru for the Sinopharm vaccine. So they sent vaccines
the Chinese vaccine.
For the trial. Chinese
before vaccine. It was approved, it was basically like
way before it was approved. Vizcarra got vaccinated in October.
That's the headline here. So what happened for everyone listening is that Vizcarra, that you guys actually officially started rolling out the vaccine in early February, right?
Yeah.
February's came. Uh-huh. So I guess Vizcarra is negotiating with Russia and with China and with everybody else. And then at some point they picked the Chinese vaccine, maybe in January.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, they did. I mean, and they have bought vaccines from other laboratories as well. Mm-hmm. But those were the first one. The first contract that was closed was with the Chinese lab. And what they did was they sent a whole bunch of vaccines for the trials. All right. But they sent like an extra bunch of them. It was and that was given to the guy who was running the study in the university. And he just started acting like if they were their own. I mean, because that's basically what they do here. He even admitted that after a while they said, like, because he gave a vaccine to a very famous lobbyist woman.
Yes.
Like a very rich lobbyist woman. And when they asked him why had he given her a vaccine, he said, like, I don't know, we want to grow the hospital, like, eventually.
Yeah,
and
we need money.
We're going to need finance for that. And she might be able to help.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate form of lobbying.
Yeah.
To save someone's life. Right.
And every drug dealer knows you don't get high in your own supply. You give it, you use it. So you get the drug, you use it to get stuff. It's like currency. So
what happened is Vizcarra got a trial in October. And
he wasn't a trial.
Oh, but it wasn't a trial. He just got the vaccine.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, like there was no placebo. Like in a trial, some people might get a sugar pill. You don't even know what you got.
Exactly. I'm part of the Oxford trials, for example.
Whoa.
I signed up for them. Because they were trying them here as well, and it was pretty easy, so I did and just went and I got the shots. I don't know if I have a placebo or a vaccine yet. I'm supposed to find out like in a month or so when they bring those vaccines, because if I had a placebo, then I would be first on the list.
Right. Like, and if you get a shot, then you're not.
But can I ask you just a detour real quick? So for you, when they give you the placebo, or you don't know, you might have a fake one, you might have the vaccine, you might not. Do they tell you to go about living your life like a normal, like as if you do have the vaccine?
No, because actually, if you do have the vaccine, you can't go on and live on a normal life yet. Because if you get the vaccine, what would happen to you is that you would get sick, but you won't die. But you can still
get it. Yeah. So you're supposed to still live. You're supposed to still go about, but you're supposed to keep like a log, right? Like a journal of everything you did. Is that how
it
works?
Yeah, well, it's not that detailed. Basically, every Monday, they ask me if I have symptoms over email. And I just say no. I guess if I have any symptoms, there would be further questions. But I just answer no every week because I haven't felt anything.
Okay. But So Vizcarra takes the vaccine in October and doesn't tell anyone, right?
No, and he got himself vaccinated. He got his wife vaccinated and his brother vaccinated.
Well, I hope he got his wife.
Yeah.
Kind of shitty if he didn't.
Yeah.
Like a husband.
And definitely a whole bunch of other people that we don't know. But the thing is that when this came out, there was a list of like 437 people that had been vaccinated. And people
and this
all
this came
around,
out so. When? Like a week or two ago, right?
Yeah, something like that. Because there was this journalist that wrote a book. That was a terrible book, very, very boring book, but it had this fact.
Oh, one good scoop.
It just blew. Yeah. And so,
and
you know,
Vizcarra lie and say he was part of the trial at first.
Yeah, that was because that guy, I mean, what more than a crook, because he's a crook, but more than a crook, he's a very big liar. Hmm. He lies like, I mean, all the time.
Like
so he just went on TV and said like, yeah, I mean, I was vaccinated and I didn't say anything because I didn't think it was adequate at the time, but I was brave enough to offer myself into the trials. I did it out of bravery and out of I wanted to help, because I don't know if you know, but Vizcarra is running for Congress right now.
Oh, yeah. Because he can't run for president, but he can run for Congress.
Exactly. And so he said, like, well, I got vaccinated because I offered myself for the trials, and I didn't know that this was outside the trials. And he even showed like a small card that they give you when you go into the trials. I have one, but they have a serial number on it because so you're one. Like subject number, whatever, you know. But he showed one, and it was fake because.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because it didn't have a serial number. And then the people from the study said, like, he was not part of the study. Because, I mean, if you're part of the study, you don't know what you get. And the not even the doctor knows what they're giving you. I mean,
so it's like a fake ID for a fake medical card badge.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the people, the other 400 some that were given, were they all, like, mostly, like, his party, his friends, his people, like, high? Because there were people in his cabinet, or they were people, or they're in the new cabinet, too, right?
Yeah, there was this woman that was like the health secretary, and she was Vizcarra's health secretary, and she remained on the job when Sagasti came in. So the thing is that she wasn't really doing a good job as a health secretary during the pandemic, but she had she had a good reputation.
Was she like the Fauci kind of person? You mean like a medical expert or?
Not exactly. Yeah, I mean that's her role, but she's basically health secretary.
Okay.
You know, she has. So there's other people also working on this, but she was the face. But the thing is that this woman, her name is Pilar Massetti. She's very well respected among like high class white people, and she's basically white, and that happens a lot here. That people tend, especially people, powerful people and people with money tend to see white people in power as better, basically because they're white. And we have like this big racial problem, you know, like we were basically racial problems here are not like the same as in the US where you have minorities. What you have here is like most of the people are not white and a little bit of people are white and those people have a lot of power.
Just because they're white,
but they're the minority,
right? They're the minority, but they're yeah. And is the did this woman did she so she didn't even tell Sagasti, like he didn't even know that people who worked for him had gotten the vaccine in secret, and he's going around. Yeah, he didn't have the vaccine yet, did he?
She got vaccinated a few months ago, and she didn't say anything. And then she would go out on the news and say like, "People, you should get vaccinated. I'll do it as soon as I can, but I'll do it after all the people in the first line people do it."
Oh my God, she said that like first responders first, of course.
Oh my God. All right, because
the president's a 76-year-old guy. He should have gotten it. You know, he's a high-risk guy. And he's
when we got the vaccines, he wasn't the first one to get it. I mean, when we did get them, he had the people from the first line vaccinated, and then the president got vaccinated. And it's basically very stupid because they could have used this vaccine and then just go to every town and said, like, okay, we're going to vaccinate the mayor or, you know, or the governor in front of everybody, because we also have like 40% of people that didn't want to get vaccinated. Okay. So you could have used those. They could have used those vaccines as maybe like a publicity campaign, you know, like a advertising campaign for the vaccine. But they just chose to use it in secret. And the worst thing is that some people even got three shots, because you get two shots from this vaccine. Some people even got three, because the head doctor from the study said, like, we've read that you can just like boost the power of the vaccine with the third shot. So let's try it.
Why not do a fourth then at that rate? Just keep doing every day, take a shot.
I mean, if you're gonna go, like, go all the way, you know, if you're gonna get a vaccine in secret, get three. You don't get four. That answers my question though, because to me, so in our country, what they did, and maybe this is the better move, I mean, clearly it is all of the government officials, they didn't even pretend like they cared about anybody. They just said, hey, the vaccine's here. We're all getting it first.
But that was after it was approved by the FDA. It wasn't a trial, a fake trial.
Yeah, but either way, they didn't say, oh, they didn't even fake like, oh, we care about other people more than us. Why don't you guys get it first? Why don't you get it first? No, they just said, we're getting it first. Deal with it. That's the way life is. You know, we're better than you. We've always known that. And you've always known that. Even AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's very much a person of the people.
And young.
She got it first. And then her like her allies in Congress got mad at her. And then she said, F you. I don't care about you either.
Exactly.
And they went, oh, okay. And then they went and got it. So but, why
And
not?
Also, we assume that people, you know, I think we were saying off air, like we assume almost the government people do shady stuff like this. You know, like
I was. So what surprised me with America.
This was bound to happen. Yeah. This was bound to happen.
I was blown away. When Trump got corona, not to bring everything back to Trump, but Trump got coronavirus in, what was it, August or something?
Yeah. September, August, I forget. Yeah.
That to me was a giant surprise because I just assumed he had already gotten an early trial. I assumed everyone, all the old people in the government had gotten trials early on and they were now vaccinated and they just didn't let us know about it. But so I was blown away that they didn't take a vaccination. So to me, this Peru story makes more sense than any other story around the world that they would take it early. But also nothing, that lying about a thing is pretty ridiculous.
There's nothing that has happened with Trump that hasn't happened in a worse way in the history of South America.
Right. That's what he's like. He's like a South American leader.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only thing that worries us about when Trump was president is that when he does it, it's like when your parents do it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like for South America, it's like, okay, so if the president of the United States is now like a South American dictator, you know, okay, so we're screwed. But I mean, but he hasn't done anything. I mean, if you would bring him here, there's nothing he can say. There's nothing he can do.
But what I'm saying is he didn't even get a trial.
He didn't even do that, though. Like we read a Russian in Russia, they were giving the vaccines out to the doctors and stuff. They were trying it on themselves like back in April and May because they're just Russian. I don't know. But like,
I mean, why not? Honestly, I would do the same probably.
Yeah, you probably because what's the worst that can happen? You have a bad reaction, I guess. But, you know, at least
that's why I signed up. That's why I signed up for trials. You know, I said, like, worst case scenario, I just get, you know, a mild reaction. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, so if you guys could have got the vaccine, not in a trial, but in like a shady manner, would you have taken it last year? Turner, I mean, someone offered it to you if you knew a doctor.
Of course.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
I would have taken a trial. I would have taken anything. These people, there was, I talked to a friend of mine who said, oh, my company is now, this was in like December. And they said, oh, we just found out my company is, we're going to be able to get the vaccine first because we work with the elderly. But I talked to my whole team and we all decided we don't want to get it. We want to wait to see what happens to people first. We want to let everybody, other people be the guinea pigs. And I was like, are you nuts? That we've been doing trials since March. Yeah. December, you're not the first one to get it. They got it 6 months ago. That's what trials are for, you know, is to find out.
Yeah.
So I would definitely get it early.
And also Vizcarra was, maybe he knew, did he take it knowing he's about to be impeached again? Because he's thinking like, I'm about to lose my power. This is what I got. I can do it now or I'm going to wait.
Maybe. Yeah. Because he was always on the verge of being impeached.
Right.
I mean, he had very powerful enemies. You know, actually, the 5 year period that we had before Kuczynski, who was the guy who came in with Vizcarra, was the first time in the Peruvian Republican history that we have had four periods uninterrupted, like from 2000. Four presidents that have gone full period without being
impeached or stepping down.
Yeah. Before Kuczynski, those four presidential periods, that's a Republican record. And we broke it with that last one.
Wow. But I had heard every one of your leaders since Fujimori was either impeached or dead. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to find out what is going to happen to Vizcarra now that this has all come out. But before that.
Oh, yeah.
Magic Spoon, everybody.
It's the moment you've been waiting for.
This is our most popular. People, when we do this show on Twitch every week, the message lines light up when we start talking about Magic Spoon. People love the spoon, Kaplan.
Yeah, and so you should put this in the liner notes to timestamp it so people who don't want to actually watch our episodes just can come to the Magic Spoon.
No, we want to make them listen to the whole thing. Here's what. So I don't. Have you heard of this, Jaime?
No, I had never tried it, but I really like the design of the box.
Yeah, if you're watching us right now on YouTube, we're holding up the box. Kaplan, as we all know and love, Magic Spoon is a grain-free cereal. So here's the deal. When we were kids, we had this sugary cereal that every kid was allowed to eat, you know, and your parents just fed it, just spooned it into your mouth. 7:30 in the morning, they're giving you just pounds of sugar.
My parents just shoveled it right in, the cookies ones, the cinnamon ones, all that junk, and I ended up having a heart attack when I was 41 as a result.
As a direct result
of that, to my parents try to kill me. I should sue them.
These like cookies, whatever, cookie ice cream. Cookie cereal. And it, not only were you getting the cereal, but you were getting the milk too, right?
Oh, the milk, yeah.
The dairy, the gluten, the whole thing, you know, throwing it right in there. And, or if you weren't one of those kids, if you were a kid like me, Kaplan got all the fun. If you're a kid like me, you had to eat all this boring cereal. It tasted like cardboard.
Right. And so I'm sure for you, going to a friend's house who had the sugary cereal was a great thrill, right? A great memory.
It was the best. I mean, on the upside, I didn't have a heart attack at 41.
There you go.
But I would almost take the heart attack over the disaster of a childhood I had because I had to eat this cardboard cereal every morning.
Sue as well for your disastrous cardboard you had to eat.
Now there's a solution. Magic Spoon has all of the flavor of the sugary cereals that led to Kaplan's heart attack, but it's as healthy as the cereal that gave me the worst childhood in American history.
Yeah, look at you. You're so thin and young looking over there, and it's all because you ate healthy. And now that could be the secret for everybody. You can eat 0 grams of sugar, right?
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, which is good for you.
Yeah.
It's as much as eating an egg. You can stop eating, stop drinking a raw egg for breakfast.
Breakfast diet. That's from, if they make a Rocky 12, he's just going to do this in the morning. He's just going to dump Magic Spoon down his throat. No
Magic
raw egg.
Magic Spoon, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories per serving. It's keto friendly, Jaime. Gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, GMO free. No one even knows what those letters mean.
I don't know what it means.
But don't have to worry because it doesn't happen.
It's a bad
anyway.
Thing. Anything in abbreviations is bad. And, you know, my wife hates that every time I make a protein shake, she hates I make a huge mess of the kitchen with the blender and the powder. It goes everywhere. I'm done making protein shakes because, as Turner said, 14 grams of protein per serving. This is how I get so strong. I lift some weights. I pound some Magic Spoon. Bam, look at my body. So
this is a protein shake.
This is a protein shake in a bowl. And, yeah. And when you buy it with our promo code LOST, Magic Spoon, right?
MagicSpoon.com/LOST. And they give us our own website. It says, Welcome, Lost in America fans.
And you get
$5.
Do you get $5 off? Or?
You get, yes,
$5.
You get
$5 off. We do. We do get $5 off. And you also help us out a little because this is this our last Magic Spoon spot, we think? Maybe?
Well, yeah.
We don't know.
Before we get to that, a couple more things, Kaplan. The reason why we're talking about it today, they have 2 new flavors.
Oh, right.
Which are so limited. They're available for a limited time only, and it's in such limited supply. They didn't even send one to us, so we can't even tell you how it tastes, but I'm sure it's amazing. One of the flavors, cookie and cream.
Mm.
So, another one, maple waffle. Forget waffles. Don't even eat waffles anymore.
No, waffles are terrible for you. Eat maple waffle cereal.
As we know, they have...
they also have cinnamon. They have peanut butter, I believe.
They have frosted. They have... fruity, which is everyone's favorite.
Cocoa. I gave my kids cocoa this morning, and they were pounding it. They love it. So
it's delicious. And here's the best part, Jaime. Magic Spoon's so confident in their product. This is like reading a book, by the way. This is a very long... Magic Spoon's so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. If you're unhappy, just buy Magic Spoon because they'll give you your money back, even if you're unhappy about something else.
Yeah, if you're unhappy about anything, if your wife's left you, if you're just depressed about COVID,
lost your job,
they guarantee you lost your job. They will make you happy. This cereal, you mix the cocoa and the peanut butter together. It's like a Reese's peanut butter cup. You eat it in your bite. It's going to make you happy. If it doesn't make you happy, if you call them up, they send you your money back.
If you're a Sacramento Kings fan and they're on a 10-game losing streak, get Magic Spoon. It'll turn your life right around.
If you've just been busted in a scandal taking the vaccine too soon and everyone hates you now, get Magic Spoon.
This is great for Viscara.
Send him some Viscara. Send him some Magic Spoon.
Oh, also for all of our listeners in Canada, what's up? Magic Spoon now ships to Canada. Breaking news. America's hat can now get Magic Spoon.
I believe Biden, when he called Trudeau up after the election to start repairing the relationship, one of the first things they talked about was, I need to be able to get my magic spoon over the border. We need to, your country needs to experience this. So
it's part of NAFTA.
It's part of the new NAFTA.
And here's how smart Magic Spoon is. They just in time for Canada, they added the maple waffle.
Very, they're just the smartest company. They just understand their market. Yeah. So, anyway.
You should send some Magic Spoon here and I'll just give it to my friends. Like, he's got
Let's do it. We'll do it.
You can pay them in Magic Spoon.
We will traffic Magic Spoon.
We will become traffickers.
What would be a good flavor for Peru? Because, you know, they got maple for up there in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Frosted.
I don't know. I mean, maybe chocolate. But people, we're not as used to having cereal for breakfast as you guys.
Perfect. It's an open market.
Yeah, exactly.
The market's available. So, Kaplan, as you said, this is our very last Magic Spoon ad unless they re-up with us. We're on pins and needles over here.
This is like the last episode of MASH for the listeners.
Unless we get renewed.
Renew us, Magic Spoon.
We're waiting to see if we get renewed.
Guys, so, buy it. If you're waiting, buy it this week. Put us over the edge.
Listeners, this is the day to go to magicspoon.com/lost and buy it, or else we're out of a job. We won't be back next
week. The show's canceled if we don't get them.
We're canceling ourselves. All right, that's it. Magicspoon.com/lost. Back to the show. Jaime, as we talked about right before we brought up Magic Spoon, your last four or the four presidents after Fujimori were either impeached or died, right? Or put into prison or died.
I mean, the thing is that there was this big corruption case that came out a few years ago. It's called Lava Jato, which had to do with a Brazilian construction companies. They had been bribing people in like 16 different countries for like since the 70s. They had this whole parallel department just built to bribe government officials all around the world. So basically, they had been building everything we have here, like roads and other big projects since the 70s. So basically everyone who was in the government since the 70s on got money from them. So, and what they did was like, Fujimori was in jail for other things, but then the one that came after him, he was so corrupted. This guy, Toledo. That guy's really funny. To me, he's like the Peruvian Forrest Gump, because I have no idea how he got to be president. He's just a liar. He just walked around, started conning people, and he ended up as president. And he's kind of funny. And that guy, he's so lazy that he didn't even take like bribes in all the projects. He went to the company and said, like, you just give me $40 million and do whatever you want.
This is a great idea. This was my friend's idea in high school, Matt Sabrin. Shout out to Matt. Him and this other guy had this idea to, they got a list of the Forbes list of the richest people in the world every year, you know? And they were going to write a personal letter to each one of those people just asking for $1 million. Hey, you have billions. Just give me 1 million. And if
I have a close friend whose name, he's Peruvian. His actual name is William Henry Gates III.
And
Bill Gates, that's the exact name of Bill Gates. Bill Gates is called William. Yeah, III. So I'm always telling my friend, like, man, you have to write to Bill Gates and just ask him for $1 million. I mean, it's like, I have the same name as you. Just give me $1 million. And he'll go like, yeah, why not? You know, it's like,
might happen.
Does Q hate your friend as well?
You have a bigger chance of getting that money than winning the lottery, I guess.
Yeah, you never know. So Vizcarra, what's happened to him? What's happening to him now that all this news is coming out? Because he's already not president anymore.
He's still running for Congress, as you were saying.
Yeah, he's running for Congress. He might get in. When you get into Congress, you usually have like immunity, but they have just taken that off. They've taken the immunity off.
I did read that in April, as of April, that immunity thing, which we talked about a lot.
We said you could kill your wife as long as you're in Congress. They can't arrest you.
It was like it was like touching base if you're playing tag. If you can get to base, if you can touch base, then they can't tag you.
Yeah.
If you can get into Congress, you can't go to prison. But not anymore.
But the thing is that they would protect you, because in the last Congress, they had a whole bunch of people that were accused of things that they've done those things before getting into Congress. But since they were part of powerful parties, because, you know, we have a whole bunch of parties here. We don't have like Republicans yes. and Democrats. We have like 8 parties in Congress, which yeah. is a disaster. By the way. And this guy, when these guys got into Congress, they just, you know, started protecting themselves. You know, like this guy said, like, oh, okay, yeah, he did this, but he's on our team, so we'll just deal with that later.
It's like because a club. Congress, it's like a private club.
Exactly, because they can just like throw you out of Congress, and then you could get trialed. You know.
So Vizcarra is trying to get himself back into Congress to escape.
Exactly. And then you have like these really right-wing candidates right now that are like, they have made Vizcarra their enemy, because all the right-wing people, extreme right-wing people, let's say, that were against the riots in November that overthrew Merino, and Merino and his people, they feel validated with what has happened with Vizcarra, because they say like, so. See, no? He was a crook. And it's like, yeah, we knew he was a crook. It's just that you're crooks too, and we didn't want you in power.
Right. So it hasn't ruined it. People don't feel regret about the protesting because it was more of a concept, is what we're basing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Some people will try to push on that narrative, but yeah, it's not going to work, basically. But you have this really, we have a candidate now which is trying to emulate Trump, and he would just go and say like the most outrageous things. And he's like a very religious guy. He's celibate. He's a millionaire, and he's celibate since he's 18 or something.
AC Green of
that's yeah, how you become a millionaire.
Yeah, I'm completely exactly convinced.
Laser focused.
Good advice. You don't waste any of your money that way.
Yeah, and he's obviously super homophobic, but he's one of those guys that I'm pretty sure eventually we're gonna see in the news that he was found in. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
he'll show up on one of those cruise lines.
And he would just go out and say, like, he wants to give Vizcarra the death penalty.
Oh my God!
Let's just give him the death penalty. It's very funny because he's pro-life in everything, but then he wants to give these people that took the vaccine the death penalty. Not only Vizcarra, but all of them.
What's this guy's name again?
Jaime. To your Lopez point, Aliaga. It's 68 of the 130 senators. Have some type of corruption charges against them. 68 yeah. of 130. So if they ever leave office, they could potentially go to prison, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, the immunity was put there for a reason. Basically, if you are in Congress and you're working against someone, because that has happened. We've had some like very powerful people that would buy off judges and control things. And then people from Congress would investigate them, and they would just like sue them. And it would be impossible for the people in Congress to just do anything about.
Okay.
About
do their job. So yeah.
That was what the immunity was there for, to protect them against those kind of political enemies. And it made sense. The thing is that they have taken so much advantage of this. It's not only that we have a lot of people with investigations and things like that in Congress. We have a whole bunch of people with that running for Congress right now.
Yes.
I mean, if you check the lists of people who are running.
That's a good reason to run. If you kill your wife, you better hope you win your Congress seat.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I'm running for city council, because I'm going to try to get that on the ballot here. Not the killing wife, but, you know.
So is Vizcarra's kind of, I guess the legacy is not really changed, because it's not like you guys ever loved him in the first place.
People did. The thing is that he confronted very powerful and people that people really hate, you know, because when that case came, the Brazilian companies that they were bribing everyone, and that when that blew and they started going after all of the politicians here. And we had like right-wing presidents, left-wing mayors, and people just from all the political class were being chased by the police. Vizcarra, he put himself on that side. I mean, he protected the district attorney that was chasing these people because they were trying to remove him, and he protected them. So people said like, okay, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Basically. Yes.
Right. You know, but in politics, you know, you can never trust anyone.
Sure. That's and one day. The next day, all the enemies switch, and then you don't know who's your friend.
Uh-huh. We had talked about last time how he had, I guess he had gotten into trouble because he had gone after some of these universities that aren't accredited, and all these other congressmen own universities, I guess, or it's private business. But then the university that he actually, because there was a university running this trial, right? And that was considered like a reputable one, like an independent, an apolitical one I was reading. It was, but...
The university that was running the trial was, it's a national university. It belongs to the state. So, I mean, it's, the thing is that during the 90s, when the Peruvian economy was completely liberalized, Fujimori sold a lot of companies, and he just said, like, if you want to put it on a university, you can do it. You won't pay taxes, but you can do it. So we have like three or four guys that own a whole bunch of universities. One of them is running for president, but the guy, he can put on like a complete sentence together. He's never going to make it. And he owns a university.
Let's get into that.
And those universities they have degrees that are like worthless, right? If you leave Peru, is that what the issue is? They're not like...
That university he has is called Cesar Vallejo, which is a shame because Cesar Vallejo was one of the greatest Latin American poets. And he named his university after him. The guy would go out and on the book fair events and to speak and said, like, I don't really read. But you people go and buy books, you know. It's
great, really great stupid. President really university.
And he makes like which he declares. He says like when he has to declare what he makes a month, he makes like maybe I don't know, $15 million a month.
Whoa.
We have like the principal of one of those universities. He makes $600,000 a month.
A month? That's more than a football coach principal. At a university here.
He's not even the owner.
Yeah. He's like it's like the dean, you mean? Like almost like the head of like the
And the guy that admits that he makes 12 million or so, that's what he has to admit, you know?
So then
that's
how
the
much
money he can't hide.
Yeah, how exactly.
School cost?
How much does it cost to go to these schools?
Yeah.
They're really cheap. But they are huge, and they what they did was not focus in Lima first, but in other provinces. So they went for the people that, you know, since we had such a big economic growth in the last 20 years or 30, we've had a lot of people that didn't go to college, but their children would go to college.
Right.
Yes.
So he would take advantage. Well, these people would take advantage of those people because they would give you like, okay, you can pay tuition. It would be maybe, I don't know, $70 a month. But then no one's going to hire you. So he has like 12% of students go to his universities, but they are number one in the service that say, which professionals would you never hire? You know,
basically you're like, you can be like, if I see your resume, one of these universities, I'm like, yeah, I'm not hiring you. You're an idiot. You signed him. Yeah,
pretty much. And so basically, but what happened was that they passed a law to fix all that. And they made an institution that would like hold those universities to certain standards. And this guy, he spent like $200 million in fixing his university and adapting it to that. And he's done it. So eventually, I don't know, maybe that university in the future could be better.
Yeah.
But it's not the only one.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of them, and they all are going into Congress. They all want political power because basically they don't want these laws to change. So it's for private universities. The one that's holding the trial is a public university.
Yeah. So there's two laws that are changing very soon in April. One is this the regulations on the private universities, right? Mm-hmm. And
they
then
want
this. Oh, is that not for sure? Well, and then. The other one is the this immunity, right? This immunity for the senators. They will no longer have immunity. How is that going to change the country?
Well, we're facing this election that's coming with a lot of uncertainty because we have this very strong right-wing guy who's beginning to grow. And then we have two left-wing candidacies that I'm pretty sure are going to win. One of those is going to win. Because Peru is not left-wing, but we're not right wing either. So when
alt middle,
when conservatives, I mean, if we had like a candidacy, someone running in the center, that guy would win.
Why don't I run for Peru president? Why am I wasting my time in city council?
To just come
here. Lastima.
Yeah, like everyone. You guys are cool. You guys are cool too, and you just become president. Yeah, but so I don't know what's going to happen because we're going to have a pretty fragmented Congress when this we change Congress and president at the same time. So next period is going to have also like nine parties in or more in there. And the thing is that we don't know if the guy who gets to or girl or woman who gets to be president is going to have a majority in the House. And historically, every time that the president has not had a majority in the House, he's been overthrown. Every time.
So what I'm saying back to this, just these senators and immunity. If 68 of the senators or Congress people are currently would be under trial, if not for being in Congress. If that law is going to change in April, does that mean all 68 of those people could go to jail?
I mean, it's going to be another number because it's going to be a new Congress, but it's going to be around that or more. But the thing is that but it doesn't quite work like that, because what they have to do, which I think is fair and was one of the things that Vizcarra proposed when he was overthrown, he wanted to impose that into Congress. And that was one of his fights or battles. The thing is that what they would do is once your process goes through and the Supreme Court says you're guilty, then you're convicted. It doesn't matter if you're in Congress.
Okay.
So basically what they do is now the judge would take your immunity, not Congress.
But is this only for crimes that you commit starting in April or past crimes as well?
Past crimes as well.
Oh,
past
no.
Crimes. I mean, this could change the whole country.
The jig is up.
Because trials.
I'm not running there. Never.
Also, but don't forget, we have one of the most corrupt justice systems in the world.
Okay. So there's still hope.
It's good for Kaplan.
You can still come and be president. You don't even have to be born in.
So who are of all the presidential candidates? Then you say everything's so corrupt. Like who is there? Like a ranking of who's the least likely to be corrupt?
Well, Kaplan, let me go through the list real quick. Here,
yeah, let's I got go a through list. The list. Oh yeah.
Okay, so here we go. We got a. One early leader, from what my reading, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here, the early leader is George Forsyth.
He has
12% of the he has 12% support, 12%, and he's in the lead. He was a one-time soccer goalie and also a former mayor, but he has an anti-corruption platform, so he's like running on anti-corruption. But he also doesn't seem to be clear on how the justice system works or anything like that. One of his quotes is he said that graft cases should work, in quote, like they work in the movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the American justice system, which is completely different to ours.
Yeah, you would have to change your whole country's system of government.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to pay jurors. And we have like the most corrupt judges ever. Can you imagine how corrupt those jurors would be? Like if we did that,
yeah, you pay. He wants to pay the jury. Like
no, in America we pay jurors.
Oh,
you pay.
Do.
You pay a juror for jury duty, right?
But not a lot. Yes. It's not a.
No, but they give you something. What I mean is, that would also be more expensive than the system we have now, and it would not guarantee.
Oh, so you don't have jurors? No? Do you not have jurors at all?
No, we don't.
Oh wow.
No, George Kaplan. George wants it to look like it looks in the movies.
Right,
there's
right.
12 jurors sitting there. There's a judge with a gavel. He basically just watched like
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Law and Order episodes.
And he's like, "Get me that, and I want iced tea too." Get me.
I agree with him.
That's where he
I like
gets his legal knowledge.
But people are gonna have to do jury duty. He's never gonna win. Nobody would vote. Nobody would have voted for jury.
No, he's
duty.
Not. He's not gonna win. He's going down. I mean, he was. Leading the polls like since last year, but as soon as the campaign started and he had to open his mouth, he started going down. And he's on
the ballot because I had read he was off the ballot at one point, and then he got back.
Yeah,
back
I mean on. He's off the ballot right now, but he's probably going to be put back in. We have this also very stupid process that they would just like put you out of the running because of the most stupid things like. You didn't declare this whatever old car that you saw like 20 years ago. And he's like, it's right there. I mean, it's stupid things like that. You know, that guy, he was a football player. You guys call it soccer. But
And we have an American audience. We have to cater to them. We know it's
but we have a blowhard audience. We should say football. Our audience wants to impress people.
Well, they'd be like, who do you play football for, the Buccaneers?
We say football and American football.
Yes.
There you go. American.
Was he a good goalie? How was he?
No, he wasn't even good. I mean, he wasn't even a football star. He was not going to work.
Because a goalie, if a bad goalie is like, fans hate bad goalies. I mean, because they blow games, you know, so there's no way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he was he was popular because he went on a TV show after that. Some kind of like American Gladiators kind of stuff. And he became like a show business figure because of that. How we won he got to be mayor. But he was mayor of this place, which is the place where his football team originates from. It's called La Victoria. It's a very dangerous district. And he became mayor of that place, but he didn't even finish his period because he just quit to try to run for president.
Nice. Oh, that's like almost like Mayor Pete. You go from mayor to president.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Keiko Fujimori. Yeah. Ooh, that's a familiar name. She's the daughter of the former Fujimori who ran your country for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell, had a dicey campaign. Her issue, I mean, time in office. Kiko's issue is that she's currently in prison for human rights crimes.
Bit of an issue.
She's out. No, that's not it. That's not it.
She's out.
She's free now. She was accused. She was in what we call preventive imprisonment, which is like, we know you're so corrupt and that you're going to run away, so we're going to put you in jail while you're on trial.
You meant that we know you're going to commit crimes. We can just tell you're a criminal, so we're just going to put you in jail now before preemptive war.
That's what they used to do.
That's a great idea.
If you want to run for president here, you should go to jail first.
Yes. See how you like it.
All right. So is she going to win?
No.
Okay.
She lost by very little last few times, but she was the leader of the big Congress group that overthrew Kuczynski and caused all of this mayhem in the last year. So that has taken a toll on her image. You know, she's like at 6%.
Okay, here's what I have to say. If Vizcarra can get the death penalty for taking a vaccine, this lady has human rights crimes against her.
No, but she was. I'm sorry. She's not being tried for human rights. She's been tried for taking money from these construction companies for her campaign and hiding it.
New York Times fails me again.
Yeah, look at this fake news you're doling out there, news. Turner.
All right, what about Daniel Uresti? Sounds like he's going to get arrested pretty soon.
This is another good one. Another winner.
He's a nationalist. Sounds good, but he's currently on trial for murder of a journalist in 1998. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's he was a military guy in the times that Fujimori and the military were fighting terrorism here. And during those times, a lot of people from the military, they just did whatever they want. So he was a boss of intelligence in some place in the north of Peru. Basically he just had some people kill a journalist to frame the terrorists so he could do some operations, specific operations at that time. Sure. But he did that under a pseudonym, so he won't accept that he did. But
his alter ego did it. I didn't do that.
Yeah. No, he says that's not true.
And the immunity applies to him definitely then, because you're.
Oh yeah, and he's in Congress right now, and
it's amazing.
He's running for president. He's not gonna make it. He's backed by one of those university guys, one of the most corrupted ones.
Oh,
he's
not
going to make it, and I hope he goes to jail for that. I mean, a few weeks ago they showed his people trying to bribe witnesses in that case. I mean, they got them on video and everything.
I saw he went off the ballot too, and then he came back on. He's another one. It seems more legitimate.
Most of them do. I mean, it's just that there's different instances on where that gets decided. So basically it's like this jury suspended your campaign, but you still have those two instances. So they're probably going to be.
You can't do mail-in ballots then, because if the ballots keep changing up until election day, it's.
No, because we don't mail in votes. We only vote one day.
Yeah.
We just go to vote in one day. And we usually works pretty well. And we have to vote here. Voting is mandatory. We don't have.
If you don't vote, you go to prison or what happens?
No, you just pay a fine.
You pay a fine.
But not a high fine. But
all right. Last two names I'm going to give you, and then we'll wrap it up here because we've been going about an hour here. Last two, Veronica Mendoza. She seems to have no criminal charges against her. That's good for her. And then Hernando de Soto. who also, from what I can tell, doesn't have criminal charges. What do you think of those two? Does either one have a chance?
Veronica has a chance.
Okay.
She's the left-wing one you mentioned earlier. Could win.
Yeah. One of the left-wing candidates that could win. She doesn't have criminal charges, but she people here associate her a lot with what's been happening in Venezuela because she's been left-wing, and she's one of those people that when they ask her about Venezuela, she's incapable of saying that's a dictatorship, we don't want that. She will say like, well, Maduro was elected and their people wanted this or that.
Well, she's a democratic socialist, right?
Yeah. And so in when it comes to like social liberties and civil rights, I think she's good. The thing is that her economic plans, I mean, are for like a rich country, not for us.
Okay.
That's what I believe, you know? And I don't know. People here, people with money here, it's like if you get a left-wing candidate, he starts doing stuff, they would just take their money out. That's... We don't.
I see what you're saying.
They're going to take all their big universities. They're just all going to leave. All the big privates get picked up and
stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, because you need to, whatever the tax burden needs to be balanced with the options, basically. If you have no other option, if you can't, like in America, people stay. Like even California, for example, they get taxed, like it goes up and up every year, and people will complain. But ultimately, they stay. This is
same in New York. It's like, yeah, because it's like a value to living there and make.
Because it's a value. This is the first.
People are leaving California for Texas now. A lot of people
for the first time. This is really the first time California's finally reached its breaking point after like 50 years of taxes going up. They finally reached where it is. But you have to figure out that balance. So, and what about DeSoto?
DeSoto is he's a very well-educated man, much kind of like what was Kuczynski a few years ago. He's very successful worldwide, like a renowned economist. He works with very top economists, but he has no morals, man. I mean, he's worked with Gaddafi. He's worked with Mubarak. I mean, if you got the money, he'll help you. And
but he is left wing, but yeah,
he's not left wing. He's a right wing liberal.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't be terrible, I think, if he went on for the economy, and he's a liberal, but he doesn't have any charisma, and he's too white for in one hand, and he's too associated with people who've been in government like Fujimori and people like that. He helped Keiko. A bunch of in the previous campaigns, he supported her, and he's not catching up. But we have this right wing candidate that is climbing up very fast, and he could get to the second round because we have like the two first ones go to a second election round, like among just those two. And we have Lopez Aliaga, which is the closet gay guy that I was telling you about.
The abstinence guy.
Yeah, he's trying to do it like a Trump thing. I mean, like, because there's this woman who won a trial to get euthanized here, like a week ago.
Kill herself.
Because she's she has like this very serious disease, and she's been fighting for this for a while. And this guy just came out and said like, "Well, she wants to die. Why does she just goes and jumps out of a roof, or she could just go and get into a bathtub, put some nice music on." Hit her wrists and they just bleed out and stay dead. I don't know why she has to burden the state with it.
Yeah, it's a tax burden. Good bit.
It's like Trump, you know? He's trying to be like Trump. Yeah,
but Trump would not stand for abstinence. I can't imagine him even talking to someone who believes in abstinence.
This guy believes in abstinence because he's gay. Because if he wasn't, he would be just like, you know, screwing around.
I mean, which is the most of those people we've mentioned? Because I mean, like Hernando de Soto, for instance, the way you described him, I feel like he'd be impeached in like 6 months because he sounds like who's like the most, do you think he's the most corrupt likelihood, or who's like who's the one, if you're looking to vote someone in who's not going to get impeached, if we're going to go 4 years, who do you think?
Well, we have this other guy who's also climbing, and I think he has a very good chance of winning, who's called Lescano, which is, he's also left wing, but more like a populist. And so he's left wing, but he's conservative. So he's not like, he's against gay marriage and
he's socially conservative.
His party, actually, his party tried to pass a law yesterday forbidding people to post sexy pictures on their social
Oh, boo.
That is
social media. It's like, he could put you a fine if fine a girl if she puts she uploads a photo in a bikini or something like that. Can you imagine?
Nobody would follow Captain America if I couldn't post sexy pictures of myself. So no.
Yeah. So that guy could win too. That guy could win.
Oh my gosh! It's him versus the closeted gay guy.
Yeah.
Versus the left-wing Democratic socialist who likes Maduro. That's a great,
yeah. That's pretty much what's going to happen. I think the president's going to be between the conservative left-wing guy and maybe Veronica, because I don't think that the fascist guy is going to win.
The fascist guy.
Abstinence never wins.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Thank you, Jaime. That's the show. Thanks so much for doing it, man. We'll have to check back in after the election happens.
This is a country that really is a check back in country. There's so much going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to call it, since it's not House of Cards, but I call it like House of Straw, because we have so many houses of straw here in the mountains. House of Estate, as I call it, because it's like our politics is, well, I mean, we would need like 3 more hours to give you like the full story of.
Sure. We'll do it next time.
Next time, for sure.
Everybody, check out his podcast, El Podcast de Jaime Ferraro.
Yeah.
Bam. Look at that.
Bang.
Look at that. California Spanish.
That California Spanish education. That's it, Cap. What should we do, man?
I got to go get my kids. Got to resume my remote teaching day. So I'm going to get lost.
And listen, subscribe to our Patreon show. Get lost.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.